Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. In the world, what is accepted as Christianity is not of God. Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruits." It's very important to understand that there is a great counterfeit false Christianity in the world that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Though they accept the name of Jesus, profess the name of Jesus, claim that they have authority from God, they do not have the authority from God in heaven above. They derive their authority from the one who is called the God of this world. And the scriptures identify that one as Satan, the devil. They claim authority from Peter, the apostle. But that is not so. Recently, we just had a pope retire, the first one in 600 years to do so. And there has been a conclave for 2 days to elect a new pope. And this organization, which is the epitome of idolatry, has elected a new pope. And his name is Jorge Mario Bergoglio, and he was a cardinal from Argentina, though he is Italian. And in looking at this, we need to understand that there are some very definite conclusions that we can come to with the election of this man. He has taken the name Francis the First. He did not take the name Petros Romanos, as a lot of people have said, already trying to pave the way so that he would not be called that. The propaganda has been put out that this one will do the work of Petros Romanos. A gathering of Catholic cardinals on Wednesday, that is March 13, 2013, elected Jorge Mario Bergoglio to become the 266th pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church and the number 112th from the prophecy of Malachi in 1198. Bergoglio, who has taken the name of Pope Francis I, will succeed Pope Benedict XVI, who abruptly stepped down in February due to health concerns. Francis is a 76-year-old Argentina who was formerly the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. He is the first Latin American as well as the first Jesuit to become Pope. Many had called on the Church to elect a non-European, reflecting Catholicism's enduring strength in Latin America, the most populous Catholic region in the world, and Africa, where Catholicism is fast growing. Francis I will face numerous challenges as the leader of the Catholic faithful. First among them is a child sex abuse scandal that has undermined the Church's moral authority around the world, but particularly in Europe and North America, where the abuse was most rampant. Francis was reportedly a runner-up in the last papal election in 2005, which resulted in Benedict becoming Pope. According to John L. Allen Jr. at the National Catholic Reporter, Francis I represented something of a compromise between the Church's reformers and hardliners. He appealed to conservatives in the College of Cardinals as a man who held the line against liberalizing currents among the Jesuits and to moderates as a symbol of the Church's commitment to the developing world. France's reputation for personal simplicity also exercised an undeniable appeal. A prince of the church who chose to live in a simple apartment rather than the archbishop's palace, who gave up his chauffeur's limousine in favor of taking the bus to work, and who cooked his own meals. So there we have, supposedly, a very simple and humble new pope, Francis I. Now, what do we make of this? First of all, we need to understand the system which has put him forth. And we need to recognize that, as we have covered in Revelation 13, let's go there for a minute, because there are two definite aspects that we need to cover here, which we will cover again later when we go through other aspects of Babylon the Great and papal power. Now, the final pope, so we can say, unless this man starts performing fantastic miracles, he is not the final pope. And this will present a problem to the Roman Catholic Church, as he is already 76 years old, and who knows how long he will continue to live. And since Malachi said that the 112th pope from his time, now being the 265th pope, would be the last one. Because if time goes on and this pope, Francis I, dies, then the church will be confronted with a whole new approach that they will need to develop, and as we will see later, to bring all of the daughters of Babylon back home. Now then, the final pope will have this power. And unless this pope shows that he has this power, he is not the last pope. Verse 11, and I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now this first beast is the great world ruler who is coming, and is spoken of in the Catholic prophecies. Now let me read you just a little bit here concerning this coming great monarch who will work hand in hand with the Holy Pontiff. And this Holy Pontiff, verse 13 of Revelation 13, isn't it interesting? 13:13. And in verse 13, it says, and he performs great wonders so that he causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. Then he will exercise worldwide authority, just like the first beast with seven heads and 10 horns. And out of that is going to come what the Catholic prophecy in this book called Catholic Prophecy by DuPont. Here's what he writes. The great monarch and the holy pontiff, both of whom are mentioned in many prophecies, they will work hand in hand. The holy pontiff will be very firm, and his spiritual directives will be made effective thanks to the temporal power of the great king, who will be his secular arm. And that is exactly the way it should be. The state should be independent from but obedient to the church. The age of permissiveness will have come to an end. It will be realized that rules and regulations will be enforced and not merely left to the discretion of free conscience of man, a perverted notion. That is why the great king will use force whenever necessary to restore order and discipline. Let's see about this first beast. Let's come back here to verse 4. and they worship the dragon. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be Satan worship. And you need to understand what has just gone on in Rome is setting the stage for what is to come. He will not be the last pope. There has to be a world leader who will rule the world in this way. And the whole world's going to be worshiping Satan, the devil, except those who know the truth. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him?" And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue for 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. And he was given power to make war against the saints and overcome them. And so that's what it's saying right here in this Catholic prophecy, that he is going to enforce the will of the Pope, that they are going to enforce the one world religion, that they are going to martyr the true Christians who worship God with all their heart and mind and soul and with free conscience to do so. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now that's what the last world leader is going to be like, and what the last pope will be like. And they will work hand in hand. And other prophecies in this book by DuPont show that they are going to work until Antichrist comes. Now, you need to understand, they are going to view the return of Jesus Christ as the Antichrist. And they say in the prophecies here in this book that Antichrist will put an end to idolatry. Well, Jesus Christ is going to put an end to idolatry. Now, there's some very astounding things that past popes have claimed as their authority. Now, I want to read some of these to you, and this is taken from the Book of Martyrs, and we have it in our booklet, William Tyndale, the Father of the English Bible. Because William Tyndale was a man that the Roman Catholic Church hunted down like a dog and killed because he dared to translate the Bible, the New Testament from the original Greek and the Old Testament from the original Hebrew, and that was the foundation on how we have the English Bible today. A man who worked alone, a man who was hated by the Roman Catholic Church. And this is the power that they claim. The Vicar of Christ has power on things celestial and terrestrial and infernal. That's referring to hell. "For I owe to emperors no due obedience above the law." Is that not lawlessness? "But they owe to me as their superior. And as I am superior to them, so I am superior to all laws and free from all constitutions, which I am able of myself and by my interpretation to prefer equity, not being written before law written, having all laws within the cleft of my breast." And they claim rule over the whole earth. Now, they lost that, but they're going to get it back for a short time. Continuing now. "Wherefore, if these things that I do be said to be done not of man but of God, what can you make me but God?" Again, if prelates of the church be called and counted Constantinus for God, "I then, being above all prelates, seem by this reason to be above all gods. Wherefore, no marvel, if it be in my power to change time and times, and to alter and abrogate laws, to dispense with all things, yea, with the precepts of Christ. He has the power, the claim of the power, to do it. Now there will come on the scene when the world leader is here and when the final pope is here to rule this world. And it's going to be something. And as I mentioned, it will give the Roman Catholic Church an opportunity to become once again holy and completely Babylonian by bringing back all of the daughters of Revelation 17, and we'll read that a little bit later, back home to a one world religion. And the one that is called the beast whose deadly wound was healed in Revelation 13, and who is called the great monarch in Catholic prophecies. Here is what is going to happen when their reign, and it will be almost simultaneous, begins. Let's come to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And let's see why it's coming. And let's see how deceivable this is going to be. And let's see why it's very important that we need to be right with God. We need to understand the truth of God. We need to live by the word of God. We need to preach the gospel, preach the truth, and show what is going to happen in this world. Now, Paul understood this, so he wrote to those in Thessalonica this second epistle, because there were rumors that Christ was coming really soon. Now, this is something for us to know and understand, too. And here is the warning. Let's read it. We beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to order the book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. For in that, we show how Christ is going to return. And the whole world is going to think that this is an invasion from outer space by aliens. And ironically, that will be true, but not by aliens the way they think of them, but God the Father and Jesus Christ are aliens to those who profess to know him. So they will fight against him. So he's giving the warning here. So you write for that book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah, that you be not quickly shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us saying that the day of Christ is present. Now, we can see by this, and I said before, we will know whether this pope, the one just elected, Francis I, will be the last pope or not by two things. Number one, if he's old, he's not the last one. And he's 76, and he is old. Number two, it will have to be a younger man, and it will have to be one who is known to have miraculous powers. Verse 3, very important. Do not let anyone deceive you by any means, because that day will not come unless the apostasy shall come first, and the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, this is the coming world leader. And he's going to be backed up by the power of the papacy to perform miracles. Now, this world leader is going to do this. So this is why we know now is not the time. It's somewhere down the road in the future, but how far, we don't know. The one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God, which will be built in Jerusalem, and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God. So here we have two powers, the beast and the false prophet, each claiming great powers from God, and the world leader saying he is God. So verse 5, he reminds the Thessalonians, don't you remember when I was still with you, I told you these things? Now you understand what is holding him back in order for him to be revealed in his own set time. That time is not yet. For the mystery of lawlessness, and that's what it is. That's what the whole Catholic system and all the world's religions are. They are part of the mystery of lawlessness or iniquity. And it was already, as we will see, infiltrating into the churches later after the establishment of them. Only there is one who is restraining at the present time until it arises out of the midst, and the one who is restraining it is Christ. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. That is his second coming, and he will do it by his command, and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now notice the next verse, because you see, unless you understand the word of God, unless you know the way of God, and unless you understand the scriptures, and you love God and serve him and keep his commandments, you will be deceived. But notice, even the one who's coming is according to the inner working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And isn't that what it is said of the beast in Revelation 13, that the dragon gives him his throne and his authority and his power? Now notice, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing. Now pay attention to this. Why is the world going to be deceived? And how can you avoid being deceived by this? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. What is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God is the truth. The laws and commandments of God are the truth. The gospel is the truth, okay? Do you love that? Do you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and all your being? That's the test. No, they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. Now what happens when people reject the truth of God? When they won't listen? When they think because of the emotion and the satanic power and the spiritual forces behind it begin working the whole mass of people worldwide, they're going to get caught up in it. And here's how God describes it. For this cause, God will send upon them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie. The lie that this man is God on earth. The lie that this false prophet is the representative of God. So that all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in unrighteousness. Now this is how, as we will see in the coming segments, in Babylon the Great and papal power, that this is going to come about. So now we have a new pope. Let's see what he does. Who knows if they will follow the simple suggestions of some of the Catholics concerning the priests to stop the sexual abuse by allowing priests to marry, when God commands that those who are overseers are to be married or have been married. Let's see what will happen. But if he does that, don't think everything is well. Will they renounce Sunday keeping, Christmas, Halloween, New Year's, Easter, Lent? Will they renounce all of their idolatry? Will they renounce the fact that they changed the commandments of God? Time will tell. The Bible tells us they're not going to do it. But we have to be forewarned so we can be prepared and ready. So now with the advent of the new Pope, Francis I, let's see what is going to happen to the Roman Catholic Church and how it will continue on in all of its non-biblical, un-Christian ways. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, and be sure and order the books that I have mentioned. It is vital that you get all of this information. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.